Amen. Amen. So I want to welcome all of you at Church Online. There are some people in this room with me this morning. This is our launch team. Let them hear you. Everybody give a cheer. Our launch team is the people helping us get the doors opened up for you. So we are working very, very hard. In fact, all week, all of us have been very proactive and working very diligently to make sure that we can get the building back opened as soon as possible. We believe God has called us to serve in that way. It is the capacity in which we feel called to, so we are not settling here. We are not satisfied here. We are aggressively moving toward God's call on us to open the doors back up to serve you and to serve in the highest capacity possible. Say amen. Come on, we're together to make this happen. I want to say something, though, to you if you are interested in helping accelerate that process. So there may be some of you that have never served in our church before. And what this launch team is doing is getting our teams strong enough to make sure that we have adequate serve teams to open these doors and serve you. So if you're saying, look, I've never served before, but I want to, I'm interested, help me get on board, then I want to encourage you to go to cotr.live, scroll to the very bottom of that homepage, click contact us, you'll put in a little bit of information, and then you'll simply say, join the team. And I would love to invite you to be a part of this team and help us accelerate getting these doors open. Maybe, though, you've been on the team, been through all access. Perhaps you've served at some point. Maybe not since March when COVID sort of rattled our world. Maybe you're just worried, like, please don't overlook me. I want to plug in. I want to get involved. You can do the exact same thing. You can take the exact same steps no matter what. We are going to give next steps to those who respond. We're going to tell you what to do. And if your name pops up in response at cotr.live and we already have you on our list, no harm, no foul, right? We just know, like, good, they're extra eager. So I just want to invite anybody interested to go there and do that with us. We cannot wait to get these doors open. We cannot wait to have full rooms and full parking lots and serve people at the highest capacity possible. We are really, really looking forward to doing that. Amen. Amen. It's good to see you guys. Thanks for being here, launch team. Thanks for being a part of the process of growing the church. Before we get into the message, there's a few things that I want to say. I want to give just a couple of shout outs today. And I didn't ask permission, so I won't give details, but I do want to say out there somewhere to Pastor Aldrich and Pastor Tom, our hearts and prayers are with you. We love you and are praying and supporting you. I know today you are connected to us through the online experience. You are not able to be with us in-house, but we love you. And we are praying for you. Amen. Say amen. Give it up for those two amazing leaders in our church. Love you guys. Also want to say, I heard the coolest story. So my daughter connected with a young lady this week who she was talking to. Come to find out, this young lady was like, oh my goodness, you go to Church Under the Rock. So do I. I do it online. And just talking about how much she loves this church and how connected and how at home she feels and the way that we are helping her connect to the heart of God. And I just want to say, my daughter told me about your amazing conversation. I love so much that you are connected online. It is super awesome. So Lindsay, shout out from me, shout out from us to you. Welcome, Lindsay, everybody. Hey, if you're online, would you just go in the chat and just say, hi, Lindsay, welcome, something, just give her a shout out. Super, super thankful and excited that you're a part of this great church. We love you, and we're just glad that you are here. All right, amen, amen. How's everybody doing in here? I can hear from you. How you doing out there? Tell me in the chat. How you doing? How's the week been? I just would love to hear how you're doing. I'm excited about the season that we are in. How many of you guys are super Christmas people? You're very festive. You're all about it. Lights on the house, trees up early. Okay, I'm seeing some kind of halfways and then some all-ins. And then I'm the guy that I just sort of like, I don't know. I just tag along. And it is not because I'm not anti-Christmas. I don't have a problem with it at all. I'm not the guy that gets all like wired up. I'm not putting lights on my car. I'm not putting lights on my house. I mean, I'm not that person, and it's not because I'm against it. It's just that, decorating for the holidays happens to fall during hunting season. And hey, I got other things to do. Come on, somebody. And so, honestly, in this idea of Christmas, I want to talk to you today. I've brought you a Christmas-themed message today. Yeah, I think I deserve extra credit for it because it's not my normal, but I did do it today. This is a super special Sunday at Church on the Rock. It's very, very special. The reason that it is special is because it is the day of our impact offering, everybody. Yeah, which is very, very exciting. If you've never been a part of the impact offering, this is a day where we take all the giving, everything, 100%, and we just give it all away. Now, we are a church that is generous, so we are always giving. In fact, we will never, ever, ever stop giving. Now, the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. We believe that with all of our hearts, so we are a church that is constantly making an impact, but we decided, hey, we want to take one weekend where 100% of the proceeds that come into our church, we will turn around and give away. And I'm so excited about what we get to do. I really, really am. So our team has been preparing on who to give to and how to give. And so here's what we've done. This is kind of how we do it every year, but here's what we've done. We have just built a list of people and organizations that we want to partner with and give to. So one thing we try not to do at Church on the Rock is we try not to, I call it recreate wheels. So like we don't want to go try to duplicate something that someone else is already doing with excellence. What we would rather do is just come alongside them, partner with them, and accelerate what they're doing. And so we've partnered with amazing organizations across our city and across really our nation and the world that we want to just partner with and give to. So we have kids that we are going to be blessing, people that we are going to be feeding, families that we are going to be impacting, church planting that we're going to be advancing. We're just make the heart is to make an impact. We just want to make an impact in the world around us. And so what we've done, honestly, not knowing what COVID would do and how it would impact today, we've sort of built a bottom line, like, this is what we're going to give, and we've sort of created some allocations and we know what we're giving. And then we created contingency plans. I don't know if you've ever been in part of a contingency plan process, but contingency plans usually go the other way. Like if it goes worse than we think, this is what we do. We didn't do that. We built contingency plans. If it goes better than we think, this is what we do. So it can only go up from here. Only go up from here. And we're really, really, really excited about the impact that we're going to make. Next Sunday, you're going to see it. You're going to see it. So I'm not going to give you a bunch of details about what it's going to look like today, because next Sunday, you're going to get to see the impact that you've made. You're going to see it firsthand. We're going to capture all this stuff on film, and we're going to let you see the difference that you are making, church, in the world around you. What I love most about giving like this is that I stole this language from one of my heroes in the faith, but I really like it, is that we get to give through the church, not to the church. So we can do more together than we ever could do apart. It's just true. And so we do the kind of the hard work of vetting and finding out, like, are these organizations healthy and what are they doing? And one of the big things that we're about here is, are we making a difference in Jesus' name? So when we give gifts, when we make impacts, when we bless, when we serve, we vet it out to ensure that we get to do it in the name of Jesus. So it's not arbitrary. It's not just giving. We have the opportunity to pray over people and to serve people. And so if we can't declare Jesus' name, we don't connect. Because this is why we give. It's in response to someone who gave all for us. Amen. So very, very excited. It's really, really awesome. So next week, you'll get to see it. You'll get to see the impact that you've made. And I just love celebrating it. So today, okay, with all that said, today, I'm going to be talking about giving. Now stop before you leave. Don't hang on before you click off. All right? I'm going to talk about giving probably in a way perhaps you've not heard before, because what I will not do today is I'm not going to press you to give more. I'm not going to try to compel people who have already decided not to give to give. I'm going to create an assumption that we all can just get into right now. Here's the assumption that I've created, that everybody's giving. Here's how I got to that conclusion. You are one of the most generous churches I've ever known of. I'm talking about ever known of. Remarkable. You guys faithfully give. You give in amazing ways. You constantly make a difference. I don't have to ask our church to be generous. I get to encourage our church to continue being generous. And it's a benefit and a privilege as a pastor. I'm also making this assumption because we've asked, hey, anybody who calls this church home, we're just asking you to give something, just something. There's no minimums. There's no amounts that are insignificant or amazingly significant. Like, they all matter and they all count. I'm going to show you that today. And so when I talk about giving today, don't worry. There is going to be no pressure that's going to try to like lure you into doing more. I'm not trying to pressure people to do this. Is that fair enough, everybody? What I want to do is just show you some things in the Bible and help identify how we are giving, the heart in which we are giving from, and what God can do with that. I'm very, very excited about it. Yeah. All right, cool. You ready to get started? Everybody, you ready at home? Get started. Say, I'm ready in the chat. Question, is this where we want this thing or can I slide it? Tell me. Somebody say yes. I can do whatever. Can I move it over? All right, cool. I'm going to move it just a little bit because I have obsessive compulsive issues and it being halfway off the carpet, I don't know if you can see that at home, was just driving me nuts already. And it was like way back here in my peripheral. So I want to take you to a scripture. This is where the Christmas fun is coming in. Come on, where are my Christmas people? Let me hear you. Woo woo. All right, if you're in the chat, say Merry Christmas, all right? Merry Christmas. All right, here we go. I want to take you to the book of Matthew, and we're going to read a little bit of the story of the birth of Jesus. This is why Christmas matters, is because the greatest gift of all, Jesus, was given. Say amen. Amen. The Bible says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. And about that time, some wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem. That's who we're going to talk about a little bit, these wise men. And they were asking a question, and the question they were asking is, where is this newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. So these wise men were most likely astrologers. They were very, very well-educated people, high levels of intellect. These are the kind of guys that kings and authoritarians would call in if they had questions about how to navigate something or work through a process. These guys were reputable people. You ever been around somebody and they're like so smart that you just know, like, I don't even bang at your level. Like, I'm here, you're way up here. You know, they ever been around one of those guys? Like, they're just way smarter. They're just, or ladies. When I say guys, I mean people. I'm not trying to, obviously, I think in most cases, all us men in the room can agree. Usually the women are right anyway. So this is them. This is them. They're very, very wise men, very, very intellectual men, and they have been brought into the know that, like, Jesus has been born. He's born. Go see him. Okay, so we're going to fast forward a little bit in the story. They entered the house. So they've already found him, and now they're showing up where Jesus is. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests. Okay, and that's what we're going to do today. We're just opening up our treasure chests, whatever that is, whatever that looks like. We're opening it up, and we're just saying, God, you can have it all. We're giving it to you, and then we're giving it all away. Amen. So they opened up their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And we're going to talk about those three gifts today. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Okay, so let me give you as much context as I can to be as helpful as possible. When people would go and see a king, it was custom for them to give gifts to the king. If they saw anybody that had prestige or title or any kind of a like authoritarian, particularly kings, it was customary for them to bring gifts. And one of the most customary gifts to bring was gold. Now, these gifts have representations, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, toward Jesus, okay? The representations are this, that gold represented his kingship. Like that, it was allegoric, if you will, pictorial. It pointed toward the reality that we see you as the King of Kings, the King of all. There's been prophecies about the Messiah that he's been told of for years, and what they are saying with the gift of gold is, we see you as that Messiah. We see you as that King. Now, I find personally, things change over time, right? And we have people, different eras have different normals or cultural things. Like, I always find it funny, like when I read back in Bible times, that if people were going to go visit a king, that they would bring him gifts. I'm like, doesn't he have enough? Like, shouldn't he send you away with a gift? This guy's got a lot of stuff. I mean, think about it. You ever tried to buy a Christmas gift for somebody that had everything? Come on, how many of y'all got them in your family? And every year, you're like, I don't know what to do. What am I going to give them? Like, because whatever you give them, they could buy it for themselves like 50 times over, and then you feel like they don't even cherish it. Yeah, come on, right? I think we've all felt this pressure. I can only imagine that any time people went to visit a king, that must have been what they were thinking. Like, I don't have any gold, but I've got a pigeon. I'm bringing my pigeon because it's all I have to offer this guy. He probably has an entire flock of pigeons. You know, I don't know. I just, to me, I don't know. I find humor all throughout the Bible. I really do. To me, this is comical, but this is pictorial. And the gold it from one of these wise men, hey, we see the kingship, your lordship. You are the Messiah. The frankincense was a representation of Jesus' priesthood. So there's a little bit of a difference here. Like the kingship is his authority. This is him being like the Lord of all. The priesthood is more the action of what he would do, spiritually speaking. So in the temple, so remember, Jesus hasn't died on the cross. There's still a temple style to worship. The Holy Spirit hasn't been given as a deposit into the life of the believers. So at the time of these gifts, they're still very much in the mindset of the temple and the priesthood. And the priest was responsible for doing actionable things to help people connect to God and help people worship him. And so this frankincense, there was, and I'm not going to get lost today. Like, this could get crazy detailed as like a picture, and we're not doing that. I have a point I'm going to get to, and you'll see it in a second. But in the temple was incense that constantly was burning, and it was, and one of the things they might have burned was frankincense. It was this aroma constantly, and it was pictorial of sacrifice. The Bible talks about Jesus, or God rather, loving the aroma of burnt sacrifices. I know it sounds a little crazy, but this is the best way I know how to explain it in the fastest way possible. God loves it when we sacrifice our flesh. So in that Old Testament, it was that, hey, I have sinned, and some sort of sacrifice needs to be made as a payment for my sin. And so when they would sacrifice whatever it was, you know, their goat or a sheep or whatever, that was like a temporary covering. But it was the sacrifice that the Lord would say, I love this aroma. So the temple had this representation of this burning, nonstop burning aroma. And the priests were responsible for helping the people connect to God. The priests were the people that get closest to God. Now, it's really, really cool, by the way. I'm going to just give you super fast context. Really, really cool, by the way, that Jesus came as the great high priest, like once and for all. He is the one that ultimately connects us to God. Say amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But then later, he translates to us that because of him, we are priests. The Bible says we are a royal priesthood, meaning that we do what Jesus does. We connect people to the Father. In fact, Jesus would say things like, I am the light of the world, and then later say, you are the light of the world. Because what he was doing was say, be like me, walk like me. It's why he came on the earth to disciple us. And then, again, I'm wrapping up the entire gospel in like 3 minutes. And then left and gave us the mission of reconciliation. So we find ourselves very strongly here. This is what we are doing now. So the gold was a representation of kingship. Frankincense, his priesthood. And then myrrh, it was a picture of his death. Because myrrh was one of the main ingredients in that day of embalming. And so it was pictorial, pointing toward you are the Messiah that was going to die. Now, I don't know if these wise men did this on purpose. I don't know if this is just the sovereignty of God where they just decided like, hey, I'm gonna give gifts this and, well, I'll give this and I'll give, because all of these were very valuable gifts, all of them, extremely valuable gifts. And I don't know if God just put it in their heart that, yeah, you choose this. And then the beautiful picture just sort of unpacks for us all, right? Where we kind of see this prophetic picture of who Christ Jesus would become for our lives. But what I want to say today is this, that all of us today are going to give one of these gifts. And this is what we're going to talk about. So when you're giving today, you will be giving either gold, frankincense, or myrrh. Now, I want to say it this way, that all of us will be giving all of these things, but today we're going to discover what the primary gift that we bring is. Is this fun? Sound intriguing? This is all the Holy Spirit. I am not this smart. Say amen. Amen. All right, here we go. Let's get into it. You ready? Let's get into it. Here we go. All right, I want to read you this scripture. This is from Deuteronomy, Old Testament book. Deuteronomy is a book where it talks a lot about sort of the the policies, if you will, for lack of a better term, of serving God and living for him and the way to honor him. And one of the things that's described is this. It says, all must give as they are able. All must give, but they're going to give as they are able according to the blessings given to them by God. And I love this. I love this verse because I feel like what God is saying is like, hey, not everybody's equal. Not everybody's the same. I think that God calls us all to be generous. I think God calls us all to be givers. In fact, I don't think that you can dispute that and consider the Bible the absolute truth. There is a plethora, an overwhelming amount of evidence from the scriptures, from the Bible itself that compels and speaks to the life of Christ followers to be givers. It just is what it is, okay? And so I'm making the assumption today that we get that. What I love, though, is that the Bible says, hey, how you give, what you give, the amount that God would expect of you, it's just based on, like, what you can do. It's in proportion to what God has given you to steward. So some of us have a lot, and some of us have a little, and some of us are somewhere in the in-between, but God, when he looks at us, is not looking at amounts. He's not looking at dollars and cents. I mean, listen, he is in heaven, there are streets of gold, everybody. Like, he ain't hurting for money. It's a heart thing. He wants to know, like, would you steward what I've blessed you with in an appropriate way, in a balanced way that is responsive to who I am? And I just love the fact that the Bible says this, because the Deuteronomy says some hard things too. Like, there's some tough stuff back then that people would have to live up to in order to honor God. And then there was really cool stuff, like all the feasts. All right, I'm going to digress a second. I was just kind of studying through this a little bit this week. You know, and it's talking about all these feasts, and these, like, seven-day feasts. Like, you're going to stop everything you're doing, no work. You're going to cook a bunch of food, have a bunch of fun, and just party. And I'm like, yes! There's like weeks worth of it in the calendar. I'm like, yes. So here's what I'm saying to you. Don't feel bad for going on vacation. Have that fun, baby. All right. Enjoy yourself. All right, so here's what we're going to do. I want to dig it down. So now that we know that God has called us to give in proportion to what we've been given by him, the question is, what's the primary gift that we are giving today? Gold, frankincense, or myrrh? All right, here we go. You ready? I hope this works. We'll find out in just a second together. I believe that the gift of gold is a gift of honor to God. And I'm going to describe to you, you'll be able to identify with this or not if this is you. And so the gift of gold is a gift of honor. It's a gift from you that says, I am so thankful for all that I have. So this is how you're thinking. I've been given so much. I have so much. I'm so blessed that I want to honor God in response to him to say, thank you, God, for all that I've been given. You've given so much to me that the least I can do, Father, is honor you with what I have and give back to you. This is the gift of gold today. And some of you, that's exactly how you feel. That you just find yourself sort of almost taking a step back a little bit, saying, wow, when I really evaluate all that God has blessed me with, the least I can do on an impact offering weekend is just honor God. So I am going to give a gift as a heart of gratitude toward the Father. Now, I think all of us will do this in a way, but I think one of the three will become our primary. I don't know if I said that, but I want to clarify that. So some of you, your primary reason for giving is a response of honor. God, I'm so grateful. I am so thankful that my heart is simply to just give to you because I love you, and this is a way for me to say thank you for all that I have. Gold is the gift of honor. Check out this verse. The Bible says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you have. Some translations say, honor God with your wealth and the first fruits of your increase. This is a very tithe-focused scripture. So the Bible, I believe that we are called by God to be percentage givers. And what I mean by that is that we should return the first fruits of our income back to the Father. This is where this comes from. So the very best. So even, I'll tell you a quick story with Lauren and I. Not all that long ago, we struggled financially. I mean, when God called us into ministry, my goodness, the financial price we paid to do that put us in some, like when we got married really young, had children really young, and we thought to ourselves, like, it'll never get harder than this. Yes, it did. It did. And we were walking through this enormous, long season of financial strain and struggle where we would make decisions like, are we going to buy groceries or are we going to pay the light bill? Like those kind of conversations, foreclosure papers showing up in the mail, three times that happened to us. We watched a vehicle get repossessed, like taken right out of the driveway in that season. It was one of the most depressing and relieving experiences of my whole life because I was like, oh, that's really sad. And then I was like, well, thank God I don't have to make that payment anymore. Come on, somebody. All right. And we walked through this season. Every time we had those kinds of conversations, 100% of the time, when we were trying to decide, am I going to pay the light bill or are we going to put groceries on the table? Which of the two is it? Those conversations happened after our first fruits were given. It's non-negotiable. Malachi questions us, are we going to rob God and not give him the best and the first? That's the question that it asks. And so we just made a decision that we will always honor God with the first. So it's the first thing in our budget line. It's the first thing that gets taken out every time the check comes, and it comes right to this house because the Bible says return it to the storehouse. This is the house of God. We give through this ministry. Amen, somebody. The first, the best. That might challenge some of you, but that's the word of God. Amen. But it's a matter of honor, and it says honor the Lord with your wealth. And there are some of you that are like, God's been really good. I'm not saying you're wealthy. I'm not saying you have a yacht. I'm just saying that you're doing good. And you recognize that. And you're just saying, God, thank you so much. Today, I'm going to give with the very best of my heart. I'm going to give the best. And then there's always promises connected to giving. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. And some of you are saying, amen right there. All right. So the gift of gold, it's the gift of honor. God, I'm just honoring you with this gift. You've blessed me so much. It's the gift of honor. The gift of frankincense is the gift of action. Remember, this is the priesthood of Jesus. This is him working out the salvation process. This is him serving the church, the priesthood. This is him loving you and I. This is the gift of action, meaning that I may not necessarily be giving today because it's like, oh God, I'm just so thankful. It's you're giving today. Your mindset is this, like, I just want to make a difference. Like, I want to see that what I give to does something great. I want to partner with something, and I want it to be actionable. And you're more excited about next Sunday when you get to see what your giving did because you're like, yeah, you have this inside thing that's like, I want to do something. I want it to matter. There's this inner belief in you, which is true, that says that, man, if I give to this offering, that I'm giving directly to the heart of God. I'm giving into the kingdom of God. So your heart is a heart of action, that I just want it, like, I need it to do something. And so you're excited to find out, like, what did my giving do? And check this out. I love this verse. It says, in everything I did, I showed you by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. We have to help them. There are people that need us to help them. We must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself when he said, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And some of you, like, this is your heart. Like, I want to help people that can't help themselves. I want to make a difference in somebody's life. And maybe I'm not aware of the need, but I know it's out there, and I trust my church to have found the need, and I can't wait for my giving to make a difference. This is the frankincense gift. It's the gift of action. I'm just looking, well, let's do this, right? It's an exciting one. It's actionable. It's forward thinking. All right, the last one. Everybody okay? All right, you guys okay online? Okay, all right. Nobody said anything, so we must be good. All right. Myrrh is the gift of faith. Myrrh is a little bit different because remember, this one was pointing toward the death of Christ. A sacrifice is being made. Something's being laid down. It's a tough one to do. And there are people in our church that today are going to give the gift of myrrh. What the Bible says. Jesus, it's a little story. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were being put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. First of all, this is also funny to me. Like, I can just imagine, like, Jesus just be like, You know what I mean? You're just trying to like put your offering into the basket or whatever, and then Jesus is just like watching you. Like that's a little pressure filled. It feels like to me. That's how I see it naturally. I don't actually think that's what Jesus was doing. I believe that Jesus was probably sitting off in a distance, just being perceptive. I actually think that he was just sitting back, just watching. I'm a people watcher. I totally get this. I love people. In fact, I go to restaurants and I do this with neighbors, and my wife thinks it's ridiculous, but I build stories. I'd like try to build their story. Like, yeah, I think that I have one neighbor. All right, I'm going to tell you the story I built for him. Like, I never talked to the guy once in my whole life. I have this whole idea that I'm pretty sure that he retired from the United States Army. I think that he was an active duty soldier on the enlisted side for his entire career. I actually think that he moved to Florida and bought his home because he was able to pay cash for it and bought it under value. I also think that he does a little bit of refurbish work and some like maybe has a couple investment properties. And that's how he generates some residual income to tack on top of his retirement. I built this whole case for the guy, never spoke to him. I'm a people watcher. I get it. Anybody else do that? Anybody in the room do that? Yeah, like you just build an idea of what you think. Anyway, it's fun. For me, it's fun, but I love people. I actually think Jesus is just kind of people watching. I think he's off to the background, and I think he's just watching. He's just evaluating. I think he loved people so much he was just interested in what it looked like when they gave. And so I think he's back there watching, and he's so as they put it in the treasury. And then many, watch this, many rich people threw in large amounts. Okay? I'm going to point something out to you. The Bible never says this is bad. Ever. If you ever heard this story before, I've heard it preached several times where it was like the rich people weren't really giving because they were putting in extra and other people were giving out of a place of sacrifice. That is never identified here. And I want you to notice that as we continue to read. The rich people threw in large amounts. But a poor widow came and she put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Then Jesus, calling his disciples over there in his corner as he evaluates, hey guys, come here, I want to show you something, come here. And he's discipling and he's teaching. I want you to recognize something. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. So he's not knocking the others. He's just recognizing that she's done more. Now, she's given a lot less, but somehow she's done more. How could he say that? He could say that because he understands he's always measuring our hearts. It's a heart thing with Jesus all of the time. And he recognizes her heart. Now, somehow Jesus must have an idea of these people's bank account balances. I think it's the supernatural thing that he's operating in right now, because how could he really know? But somehow Jesus knows. We continue. They all gave out of their wealth. And again, he never says that's bad. He's just identifying a fact. They gave a lot because they had a lot. Some of these people gave a gift of gold. It was a gift of honor to the Lord from their surplus. Some of them gave the gift of frankincense. It was actionable to see a difference made. But she, out of her poverty, gave all she had. Now, what I want you to see is that some of us today are giving a gift of myrrh, because you do want to honor God. That's your heart. God, I love you. God, I want to honor you. You do want to see your gift make a difference. You do. It's in your heart, but the reality is your give today is totally sacrificial. It hurts to do it. There isn't a surplus. There's not extra. Some good action for you would be some good action to you. You're in a place where you're like, this hurts me to do. It's the gift of myrrh. And some of you already are like, yeah, I'm the gold giver today. I'm giving to honor God. I'm so blessed. I'm so thankful. That's good. Jesus never said that's bad ever. And some of you are saying, I can't wait. I just want to see it make a difference. Come on. And you're the frankincense giver this morning. It's the gift of action. And some of you are the completely sacrificial. Givers of myrrh. God, I love you and I trust you. And so sacrificially, I give this gift to you. And in your mind, you're saying, but it's not enough. It's not significant. How could this matter when Jesus says, the widow's given more? I see her heart. I love it. So I'm going to finish with this verse, and then I'm going to have a slide for you to look at. Oh, my bad, everybody. Sorry. Oh, my. Here, pray for me. Here we go. I'm too far. Here we go. Thanks, Rob. I think God, this is one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. Hebrews 6:10. God is not unjust. I mean, I could preach on that stanza alone for a year. He's not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love that you have shown him. It's a love that you've shown him directly, God, to you, as you have helped his people. This is what the impact offering is going to do. And you continue to help them. Here's what I want all of us to hear today. Listen to me carefully. This impact offering is directly to God. Directly to God. Why? Because we're helping people. Help the weak, the Bible says. Jesus said there will always be poor among you. And the Bible's saying, make a difference. And that's what we're here to do. Unified as a family. Regardless of the gift, whether it's gold, frankincense, or myrrh. It all matters. It's all honorable. It's all actionable. It's all sacrificial. It's all of those things. So no matter what offering you're giving from one of these three places, God sees it as, look at the family of God. Look at what they're doing to serve those who have less, to serve those who don't know me, so that someone might hear the name of Jesus for the first time. This is what my family is doing. Okay, I need to close, but I want you to see my screen. And what we're about to do is we're going to pray over our gift, all right? And the way that you give is the same. You're going to see it. We're going to talk about it at the end of the service. There are three ways to give, and we'll talk about those. But what I want you to do is I want you to determine which one are you? Which one are you? All of these are great givers, all of them. I do not want you to feel bad if you're a gold giver today. That is okay. That is so okay. Thank you. I don't want you to feel like, gosh, man, maybe it's not sacrificial if I'm the frankincense giver and all I want to do. No, this is okay. This is where God has you. Remember, we give according to what we've been given. This is great. And then listen, I don't want you to feel bad if you're the myrrh giver today. Oh, boy, I don't know if this is significant. Yes, it is significant. Yes, it does matter. God sees your sacrifice and he will honor it. So as we close this portion of the service today, I just want you to identify, who are you? Gold, frankincense, or myrrh? And as we pray over this offering, this impact offering, we're going to pray that no matter who you are, no matter what you bring, that God would do what only God could do, supernaturally. That he would bless it beyond our reach. That this wouldn't just be toys for children, meals for people. This just wouldn't be the advance of a church plant. This wouldn't just be something that, but this would be an expression to someone who's far from God, that God sees them. He is close to them. That he desires to know them and draw them in. This gift is so much bigger than us. We're giving it directly to the Father, and then he's going to go do what only he can do. Our prayer is that lives are transformed for eternity because we brought some gold, some frankincense, and some myrrh. And then let's let God do what only God can do with it. So let's pray together. I want you to just take a moment, if you would, and whatever it is, if you want to grab your checkbook, you could do that, or your cell phone, maybe you're a digital giver, or you just want to think of it in your mind. You don't have to have anything in your hands. That's not the idea. It's just, the idea really is that you just, who are you? And I want you to think of your gift, whatever it is. And what we're going to do, like in this moment, is we're going to figuratively, we're just going to have it before the Lord. And we're just going to ask God to bless it. God, we want you to bless it. We want the promises of what you say about giving to come true over this gift. Father, we want you to move in mighty ways. We want this gift to go beyond even what we think it can do. We want it to bless people, help people, serve people. And we want people, as a result of it, to hear the name of Jesus and know him. So let's pray together. Father, we come before you as a family, and we are truly thankful. God, as a church, we're so blessed. We have so much. And so for us, Lord God, we can't wait to honor you with this gift. We just, it's so fun to do because we see the blessing toward us. We want to be a blessing toward others. Father, as a church, we can't wait to see this gift take action. We cannot wait, Lord God, to see impact happen because we were generous, because we gave, because we blessed. Lord, we can't wait to see smiles on children's faces, someone receiving a meal. Father, for a student to have an opportunity to be in school, even digitally, for a church plant to advance the mission and the goal, now, whatever it is, all the things, the multiplicity of things, we can't wait to see the action happen. Then God, we know truly, there's so much you've called our church to do. There's so much vision ahead of us, and we just know that our bank accounts don't hold the amount of resources to fulfill the kind of vision that you've placed in our hearts. So for us, God, to give everything away is a sacrifice. But we trust you. We look to you. And so, Father, for every giver at Church on the Rock, whether they're a giver of gold, frankincense, or myrrh, we pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would bless them, respond to them. Your word is full of promises toward the giver. There's an old expression that you can't outgive God. Father, we just trust you. We are not giving in order to get. We are giving in response to who you are. So, Father, we trust you and we call to you and we pray that this impact offering would change people's lives. We pray that there are salvation stories because of our gift. We pray that there are people who were far from God that get close to you again because of our gift. We pray that this would open doors for us to advance the gospel in our city. God, we just pray that you would do a supernatural thing through this impact offering, we pray. And God, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody in the room with me said very loudly, amen. Everybody online typed in the chat, amen, amen, amen. We're giving gold, we're giving frankincense, we're giving myrrh, amen. We're going to make a difference. We're going to make an impact, amen. All right, I'm almost done, and I want to say just one thing very quickly. There are perhaps people who have tuned in and been watching this message today, and maybe you've never made a decision to follow Christ. You've never given your life to him. Here's what I want to say to you. Listen to me very carefully. I don't want you to give to the impact offering unless you just feel overwhelmingly compelled to do it. There's only one thing I want to encourage you to give today, and that's your heart. Just give it to Jesus. I promise you, it's the best decision you'll ever make. So we have a way that we do that here at Church on the Rock. I want to encourage you to do that. Maybe you're like, I don't know how to do that. What do I say? What do I do? I'm going to help you. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and I'm going to ask everybody in the room, just like we do every week, I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer after me. It's very simple for you. It's just a heart thing right here. This posture before the Lord, you're simply saying, God, I'm giving you my life. I want to invite you in, have your way. That's what you're going to do. I'm just going to help you with the words of a very simple prayer. So I'd love for you to just bow your heads, close your eyes if you can, wherever you're watching from. And everybody in this room, I want to encourage you to say this prayer with me. Repeat this prayer after me. We want to just help those saying it for the first time watching at home. I want you to say, Dear Jesus, I give you my life. All of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am, it is yours. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Hey, if you